I'm asking you to use your imagination tonight to imagine things. But first, I want us to think about the first part of that that story that we heard about Elijah. It's a strange story, isn't it? He's fleeing from Jezebel. He's fleeing for his life. And he ends up in a cave. And he knows that in this cave he's going to encounter God. But he doesn't know how, and he's come to the end of his tether, so he doesn't really know why. But while he's in the cave, there's earthquake, there's wind, there's fire, and he can't feel the presence of God. And then there's silence, this deep, profound silence. And he goes out to the entrance of the cave, and he covers his face. Because he knows that if he actually sees God, if he sees the face of God, he will die. That is the tradition of his time, that if someone encounters the face of God, their life will come to an end. I try to come here as often as I can, and I sit right at the back. And I can recognize all of you by the back of your heads. I know what you look like from the back. And it's very nice that I'm standing here at the front. I love it when I'm here preaching. You're a great bunch of people. I hope I'm not going to die at some point during this sermon. But it's lovely to see your face. It's a different perspective on you. You're smiling at me. The back of your head can't do that. But if you're going to see God, says the Old Testament, you have to just see his back. But something changed with Jesus. Something changed when Jesus came. Because Jesus came as the Son of God, and we are not afraid to look into the face of Jesus. We do need to fear him, by which I mean reverence him, stand in awe. But we can look into the face of Jesus. Because actually, it's almost impossible, isn't it, to have a relationship with somebody you can't see. Or somebody who is walking on ahead of you and you can't catch them. How difficult did it get in COVID to keep some relationships going when you couldn't actually meet and see people face to face? So I've bought a photograph album. Gosh, I'm going to have a look at it. Goodness me. Here's a picture. Here's a picture of the Last Supper, of Jesus at the Last Supper. I can almost see myself in it. I can almost see myself. Can you see yourself sitting at the Last Supper with Jesus? If I look carefully enough, I can see a shadow that might be me. The Last Supper was a normal act for Jesus and his disciples. They would sit down every Friday evening and share bread and wine. The Passover meal, they would remember what had happened in the past. And here on that Friday, the disciples were sitting with Jesus and they knew exactly what to expect. They knew the words. They had heard them a dozen times. But suddenly, Jesus said something different. He went off the script. Halfway through the meal, he took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you." And then at the end of supper, he did it again. He took the cup and he said, "This is my blood poured out, spilt for you." And he offered the bread and the wine to everyone who was sitting at that table. He offered it to Judas, who would go out and betray him with a kiss. He would offer it to Peter, who would deny him 3 times. He would offer it to all the disciples who would fail to get as far as the cross. And if I'm in that picture, and he offered it to me as well, and it didn't matter what the disciples had done or would do, and it doesn't matter what we do, that bread and wine of redemption and grace is offered to us. I find that astonishingly marvelous. That Jesus forgave Judas for all that he was going to do. Forgave us, forgives us, and still offers us a share in his kingdom. Gosh, that picture of the Last Supper just reminds me of how absolutely amazing God is. And I hope as you see yourself in that picture, you realize how wonderful he is to you too. Well, this is an interesting picture. I love picnics. I'm not all that keen of going out to breakfast because I have to be sociable when breakfast isn't a good social time for me. This is a picture of just after breakfast on a beach. This is a picture of Jesus and Peter walking along the sand together. It wouldn't have worked if all Peter could see was Jesus' back. He would think he'd been rejected forever. But instead I see them walking hand in hand or arm in arm, occasionally glancing up at each other with those kind of, "What do you mean?" sort of looks. And I can almost see myself in this picture too, walking along the beach with Jesus. And I really don't think, as some people say, that Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" because Peter had denied him 3 times. I think he asked him 3 times because he wanted to be absolutely sure, and he wanted Peter to be absolutely sure that he knew what he was saying, what he was committing himself to. "Do you love me?" "Oh yeah, of course I do." By the time of the 3rd one, "Yes, Lord, I do love you." "You must love me," said Jesus, "because you're going to feed my sheep and build my kingdom. And that is going to take a lot of love and a lot of patience and a lot of wisdom." And Jesus had to be sure that Peter was the right man for the job. But you see, if we're in that picture, he's asking us for our commitment. Do we really love him enough? Do we? Do you? Do I? Well, I hope that the answer to that for me is yes. I hope it is for you. But as you walk along the beach with Jesus, you're looking into his face, not looking at his back. And I like to think that Jesus walked him back, walked Peter back to the other group of disciples and said to him, "They're seconds if you want it." Great being in that picture. Ooh. Well, I never. This is a picture of all of the disciples standing in a little huddle, looking at Jesus. And you know, I can see myself in this huddle as well. This is the very last time that they ever saw him. This is the picture they would take around with them and say, "This was the last time we ever set eyes on him." As they came to that hill of the Ascension, it was a bittersweet moment, wasn't it? This was the last time they would see him, but it was the beginning of something so much greater. I wonder what they thought when they looked at that photograph. They looked at his face. They looked straight into his eyes. And they saw their Lord, and they heard his voice. And he said to them something utterly extraordinary. "Go into all the world, preach the word, baptize, and do everything that I have done, everything I have been doing, only do it more so." And then he said something that must have just held them captive. "Remember," he said, "I'm going to be with you until the very end of your life, until the end of the age. I am going to be with you." And Jesus had to go in order to be able to come back and reside in the lives of his disciples with the Holy Spirit. And if you can see yourself in that picture of those disciples being commissioned by Jesus, then right to the last second you see his face. And you know that his presence is going to be even greater. Now you cannot see him at all. For us as Christians, seeing the face of Jesus is a wonderful gift and almost essential to our faith. Jesus offers us in the bread and wine redemption and grace. As we walk along the beach with him, as he takes us by the arm and shows us the way, he asks us to trust him. And as we stand and watch him rise to glory, as we hear his final words, we know that he trusts us enough to call us into service and into his family. We don't see the back of God. We see the face of Christ. And I praise God and bless God every day that Jesus looks at me.